Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Save big money and start your spring project with help from Menards. We offer a huge selection of body plants, veggies, and herbs to plant at home and grow yourself. Right now, all 4.5-inch Bonnie plants are on sale through May 5th. Head to the Menards Garden Center to get your garden growing and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast on the left.
Rise from your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
What was that?
So, as you know, I made this like funny little post. I saw this plate of squid and onions on the street the other day.
How did you know it was squid, by the way?
You can tell because of the flappies. It looks like little foreskins. We talked about this on Side Stories. It does. It looks like little, like where you'd hide a little penis.
Yeah, okay. So it's the celebrity injectable into their face to make themselves look younger.
Well, I made this like funny little joke about how if you leave this plate of squid and onions out, that the Scungili man will visit you and give you an Italian surprise. Funny joke, everybody.
Yes,
Scungili
man.
It did very well on Insta. And I was laughing about it with Natalie, and I thought it wouldn't be funny, such a funny thing, like this idea that like the Scungili man is like real.
Right.
That he's real as our subject is today.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Like that type of thing.
He is just as real as our subject today.
He is. But then I was like, what if I like did a thing where I went into the mirror and I said the Scungili man 9 times?
Sure.
And like, so it happened. So, you know, and then Nat's like, sure, Henry, you're brilliant. You're the best lover I've ever received.
Well, that's I think you're adding a little bit.
She said a lot of stuff. She said, I wish I could carry your baby, but your semen's too strong. It needs to go in the drain.
Wow.
That's what she said. I couldn't ever bring your child to term because it'll rip out through my guts.
Yeah, impregnating your own house then.
And so I went into the bathroom and I shut off all the lights. I'd smoked a little bit, but I thought it was fun. And I looked in the mirror and I started the ritual where I looked in the mirror dead in my face and I said, The Scungili man.
You have to say the Scungili man?
It's a part of the ritual.
Okay.
What number was I at?
Three. You're at 3. Are you going to do 9?
The Scungili man. The Scungili man.
5?
The Scungili man.
All right, we're at the final countdown here.
The Scungili man. The Scungili man.
Uh-huh.
And then I had to stop, right? I got to 8 and I had to stop.
Why did you stop?
Because I was
so... Did you start smelling?
I started getting weird, but yeah, I started smelling it. So I was like... But then it
smells like onions.
But I legitimately was eating squid in the house. And then I go to sleep.
Uh-huh.
And when he goes nuts at night, and then I posted on Instagram what I found this morning, just this plate of what I can only describe it as Scungili on my front step.
Welcome to the last podcast on the left, everyone. I am Ben with Henry and, of course, Marcus Parks. I don't know, Henry. I feel like maybe I Marcus, where do I go with this Scungili man stuff?
Perhaps you could start with asking him, what the fuck is Scungili?
We already know what Scungili is. Isn't that it's
conch.
Squid.
It's
what?
It's Italian conch.
It's Italian what?
Conch.
Conch?
Conch.
What's conch?
It's a shellfish.
Well,
it's Scungili. It's conch.
All right, I can't.
But then,
I can't do
apparently,
this.
Apparently, because I was like, you know, Scungili man is of normal height, perfectly normal height. He's about 5'7".
That's shorter than
normal. No, he's at normal height.
A bit of
and he wears
a
like a bandolero hat and little boots. He's kind of like a twisted gondolier.
Well, that just makes him a gondolier, I think. You'll never find a sane person who likes to float in the middle of a city the way that the gondolier likes to float. Well, folks, we have a topic today that is near and dear to my heart because you know where it began, or you know where the true crime event of this character began.
Yep.
Was Wisconsin.
Yeah.
So that's kind of exciting.
Is it?
Well, yes, it is a little bit. Today's topic, we've been getting a lot of people who want us to cover this person, entity, idea, whatever it is. We're talking Slenderman.
Now, to some of you, the topic of Slenderman might seem a little passe. A childish middle school obsession born from a young desire to find the best creepypastas on the internet, of which there are very few.
Well, if you feel that way, you're wrong.
I honestly think that you might be correct. You are correct. But what I love is there's nothing better in the world than hearing Slenderman, or as several of the Wisconsin, the Waukesha police prefer to him as Slenderman, like Mr. Slenderman.
Yeah. He's Jewish until proven otherwise.
This story, hearing people take it seriously, is one of the funniest bits on the face of the planet, listening to Coast AM and them trying to take it super seriously. And the guest host, the guy that was sitting in for George Norrie, one episode I was listening to, just being like, I got to tell you, if you keep putting nasty names in the titles of these emails, I am not going to read them.
I would love to see the Coast to Coast fan emails that just say, fuck you, hard ass.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Well, for us, Slenderman has always held somewhat of a sideways fascination, partly because we get to see this modern-day myth created on something awful, and we get to see it spread through the X board on 4chan, back before the poll and R9K boards infected 4chan and took over the entire site. Something totally different now than it was back then.
Well, now it's just a grave of its former self. It's not even the real spot anymore. I believe it's 8chan that I don't even go to. I don't go into those realms anymore.
No. The only Chan I like is Jackie Chan. He did his own stunts, and he even injured his own leg in Rush Hour, and he continued on filming Rush Hour 3.
That was actually Rumble in the Bronx.
Oh, that was Rumble in the Bronx when he jumped up.
Because they showed it in the blooper reel at the end of the movie.
That's right.
That's right. And he was the first person to actually have a bone grow in the tip of his penis. Then he went and broke.
Whoa. I believe it.
Now, Slenderman has shown up on a few of our creepypasta episodes over the years, usually as an erotic joke.
He's got a big, thick old cock. That's one thing we know about him. But we've heard that a lot about lanky guys.
Yes, we have.
With the publication of Nick Redfern's book on Slenderman in 2018, which works as our main source today, our view on Slenderman has somewhat shifted.
Sure.
Wait, I mean, it has? What are you guys going to tell me what my view should be? I didn't know it shifted.
I don't believe in Slenderman, and I don't believe in a slender man ever. I never believe in a slender man. I think anybody should have meat on their bones. But the one thing I do believe in is the Scungeely Man.
I don't want to hear about Scungeely Man anymore.
Well, Nick Redfern kind of approached the whole Slenderman thing from a different perspective. See, the thing about Slenderman is that there are plenty of people out there who believe he's real, just like people believe that Bigfoot, the Chupacabra, and the Loch Ness Monster are real. Mm-hmm. This tall, thin, faceless, white-skinned creature in a suit who stalks children and drives its victims to the brink of insanity became, in a very short period of time, something to talk about on Coast to Coast, a curious news story, and something to fear.
Let me ask you something. You seem to be an expert on the Slenderman. I've seen him often in a very nice, it's well-cut Italian suit. Does the Slenderman ever wear shorts? What about the summertime?
Well, we haven't really noticed him wearing shorts at this point, George.
No, that's not a proper Coast to Coast AM. They always go, George, you know what I tell you? Maybe it doesn't come in some of my research, but a lot of the Richard points, there might be a summer version of the Slenderman. He might have a bathing suit.
Well, you never know. All I know is, why are you talking to me about Slenderman? I'm here to talk about the Scungeely Man.
It's taking hold.
Yes, it is.
In other words, Slenderman, in some ways, has gone from creepypasta to cryptid. But while Bigfoot lives in the forest and Nessie lives in the lock, Slenderman lives inside of the internet, the digital frontier, the last truly unknowable place on Earth outside of the deepest parts of the ocean.
Cool, he's like Lawnmower Man.
Yeah, man.
But with a bigger ding-dong.
Yeah, this is like a hard X version of Epcot.
Is it possible that Slenderman became so famous because he looks like Jack Skellington and young girls want to have sex with him?
You know?
Wow. You honestly, you're close.
Did I? Okay. Am I good? I'm getting there? Okay.
You're really hitting close to the heart of this whole thing.
Great. Yep.
Now, looking through all the thousands of different websites about Slenderman, it's difficult to suss out the people who actually claim to have seen something like Slenderman from those who were just whipping up a big bowl of spooky spaghetti.
Macabre man of God. But it's fun to hear some things that Nick Redfern puts in this book of, he's like, and there's the terrible story of Linda Appelman. She turned on her laptop personal computer and went into the bedroom and only to come out to see the eyeless, lipless face of the Slender Man.
Oh, that is scary when you say it like Paul McCartney having sex with John Lennon.
That's what he sounds like.
Well, part of what makes the Slender Man story powerful is the purposeful mixing of fantasy and reality, which is obvious to us, but can be highly confusing to a developing mind. Mm-hmm. But this is also nothing new in the world of horror. When I was a kid, I 100% believed that not only was the Texas Chainsaw Massacre real, but I believe it happened less than an hour's drive from the town where I grew up.
It did.
Yeah, Marcus, are you kidding? I mean, but seriously, the idea of having a family of inbreds murder a bunch of people whose car is broken down, that's very possible.
You have members of your own family kill other people that their descents are also probably like really mixed up. You know what I mean? That some of the branches are kind of on top of each other in the family tree.
You're actually Chop Top.
Man, I love music.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2. If you haven't watched it, you must watch it. And just know it's Marcus's favorite movie. And then throughout the entire film, you'll be like, yep, yep. Yep.
Yes.
All
yes,
right.
That tracks.
Totally makes sense.
Music is my life.
Love Mr. Mosley.
But the difference is that while it was terrifying to think that such a brutal massacre had occurred near my childhood home, there was no invitation from the Sawyers to join them in their secluded farmhouse for more fun family dinners. Hmm. Unlike Leatherface, Slenderman is not a static character. The very nature of Slenderman begs for interaction and collaboration, because the internet, where the character of Slenderman lives, is built on those two principles.
I don't want to say I'm the Leatherface expert, but I am large and I do have homicidal tendencies, and I would love to change my face and wear others as a mask.
What?
What I'm saying is, I believe that Leatherface is actually extremely complex, and I think he wanted friends, and that's what they were.
Leatherface is deep.
Leatherface is one of the deeper of the maniac killers.
Well, Slenderman is a mirror image of whatever you want to put into Slenderman. Do you want to be one of his proxies, sucking his dick for the rest of time? Do you want to be Bigfoot, strapped to a chair, getting your legs put above your ankles, being forced, made love to you by Slenderman, his big, thick, and gorged cock? Do you want to be Chupacabra at dinner with Slenderman? Slenderman says, hey, let's go back to my house. We go back to his house. Next thing you know, your ankles are behind your ears, you're chained to a chair, and you are just getting furiously made love to again by Slenderman.
Okay, I do believe that Leatherface probably has a small dong.
You think so?
I think so.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Yeah, I'd agree too.
It's okay.
But the reason why Slenderman works is because it taps into something deep in the collective unconscious of humanity concerning the monsters we create within our own minds. In other words, the image of the tall, thin, terrifying creature is not new.
Never be scared of the short, short man.
Do
He's
not.
Always kind and he has a plan.
This level of heightism is going to come back and haunt you.
Of the tall, white man.
You wait. You wait for the tall revolution in 2030 when people play this audio and you get canceled. You wait.
They're always scared of tall skinnies. No one's ever scared of a short round.
Snoop Dogg, did you see the picture with Tupac and Snoop? Snoop is the size of he's a coat hanger. He's one of the best people of all time.
He killed somebody.
He had to kill somebody.
Well, what's new here is that we gave this tall, thin, terrifying creature a name. And as we know, names have power. And, you know, yeah, you might say Slenderman's lame as fuck, and it kinda is.
Yeah.
But considering how Slenderman was linked to a string of deaths and attacks in the last decade, it's hard to argue that while he is lame, it's hard to argue that Slenderman doesn't have power.
I think the true bitterness comes from, and I feel this too, of all the various mysterious creatures and entities that exist, but that something as dumb as Slenderman got the golden laurel of true crime and have murders and attacks like placed at its feet. It doesn't deserve it.
No,
I mean, we live in a world where POD made grown men cry because they loved the music so much.
Yeah, the world's not always fair, Henry.
No. That is like...
Yeah, sometimes the wrong thing makes it big. POD did
huge.
Not... POD didn't deserve to be big at all.
Yeah.
And yet,
us.
There we were. Well, technically, as far as legendary monsters go, Slenderman is the newest on the scene when it comes to the big boys, knocking Woo. The infamous Chupacabra off the top slot when it comes to being the new kid in town.
Oh, what a rock and roll high school that is.
Cryptid High School has already been in development 5 times. Yes. Someone's doing it. The problem is that they had, like, you know, what's her name? Somebody from, like, Ellie, whatever her name is, from the other
Batty?
Show. No, I don't know. They just have a white woman playing Chupacabra, so they had to cancel it 3 different times.
Well, only a Chupacabra should play a Chupacabra, so find me a Chupacabra.
I think so. There needs to be Chupacabra representation in all forms of media.
However, while the Chupacabra's origin is somewhat mysterious, Slenderman's origin can be traced to a specific date when it was freely offered up as a fictional being on a simple image board.
That is the one truly fascinating thing about Slenderman as a 36-year-old man. I think our generation, because I looked up hashtag Slenderman on TikTok. Right. I looked it up just to see what the kids
is he there?
Were saying. Well, it's interesting to see the people that are, because it started in 2009, the people that are 10 years older, 10 years younger than us were 14 when Slenderman was born. We were already full-time adults, right? We do technically. I mean, we didn't live like it, but by age-wise.
No, you can't believe in Slenderman when you're mid-20s.
Yeah. You can if you're on a lot of mushrooms.
Well, yes, of course. You believe in a lot of things.
You're like 24. We saw Slenderman be born, and we watched it grow. To us, I always knew it as a meme. I always knew it as just some dumb image. But there's a younger generation that grew up with Slenderman as an actual character, and it seems to be a popular. This is just. And now I don't know what the hell I sound like. I sound like I don't know, like I'm grooming TikTok for myself, where the younger generations grew up with a more folklore version of Slenderman, where they believed in it more wholeheartedly, and it became a part of their mythos.
But is it on TikTok? Did he make it to TikTok?
No, he's not like a partner or anything.
No, but I'm saying.
Yeah, no, he's on there now.
He is
plenty
on there. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's piles and piles of videos people talking about Slenderman.
Okay. Yeah. In June of 2009, a user on somethingawful.com named Eric Knudsen, going by the handle of Victor Surge.
Yay. Whoa! Are you telling me a guy with the last name Knudsen didn't stick with it for his little name on the internet?
Well, he participated in a Photoshop free-for-all. You know, right now, like now you can see these types of Photoshop contests on like subreddits like Photoshop battles.
Yeah.
But the task was to take a normal picture and make it appear as if a paranormal event had been captured on film. So Knudsen took a black and white photo of a group of kids on a playground and photoshopped a tall, thin monster wearing a black suit into the background amongst some of the children.
Because all the real villains wear a fucking suit, man.
Yeah, they do. Honestly, but this picture was so scary.
It was scary.
Really cool.
It's good.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good.
Captioning the photo, he wrote this.
We didn't want to go, and we didn't want to kill him. But its persistent silence and outstretched arms horrified and comforted us at the same time.
Whoa.
The photo was then attributed to photographer unknown, presumed dead.
Hella scary, dude! Whoa, fucking spooky, bro.
It is scary.
He then posted another photo of a group of young teenagers in the 80s and again photoshopped the disturbing otherworldly figure into the background. This one read, quote,
"One of two recovered photographs from the Sterling City Library blaze. Notable for being taken the day which 14 children vanished and for what is referred to as the Slender Man."
Dude, I'm sending chills down my big old spine. It holds up. It is scary.
It's because you're sweating.
Yeah.
That second photo was attributed to Mary Thomas, missing since June 13th, 1986.
Whoa, ooh. Bitch is dead. Hella fucking spooky, dude.
Maybe she was driving through Texas and she picked up a hitchhiker and ended up for dinner.
Unless she left out a plate of squid and onions.
Yeah, you're going to do the Skunjili Man. Do not stop making Skunjili Man happen.
Now, obviously, Knudsen wasn't passing any of this off as real. The whole point was that they were faking these images to see who could make the scariest one.
The last thing we need, Marcus, is an Italian cryptid. Can we just, can you edit out every time Henry says the word Skunjili Man?
I don't think we
can. I want an Italian cryptid to this.
Absolutely not. I want to see where this goes. I want to see if Skunjili Man shows up.
Okay.
I mean, the more you call to him, the more you let him in, the more you let him see.
Oh, my God.
The more the Skunjili Man knows, and the more he can use that against you.
All he does is eat onions and disgusting sea creatures.
I don't know what else he will continue to do once he's done with the appetizers.
Yeah, Skunjili Man, I mean, that shit's in L.A. Y'all are out in L.A. I'm still in New York. I don't got to deal with Skunjili Man.
Skunjili Man is attracted to crudo.
I don't. All right.
But somehow, Knudsen had tapped into something big, and within weeks, if not days, Slender Man was a bona fide meme on its way to becoming an established part of internet lore. Now, the word meme has pretty much had all its meaning stripped away by the internet in the last decade, reducing a somewhat complex idea to a shorthand for funny picture posted on the internet.
This is where we officially become like the boring older dude at a teenager's party where we are trying to like be like, yeah, you guys think fucking memes are funny? Oh, you have a folder on your phone that says for memes only? Well, let me tell you something else. Memes actually can be pretty serious.
Yeah. How many high school parties have you been invited to?
No, I just watch them.
You just watch them?
Dressed with my bandolero hat on and my tiny shoes, my plate of squid and onions.
Is watching us.
Well, the word itself has actually been around since the 70s, coined by Richard Dawkins in his 1976 book, The Selfish Gene. His definition of a meme was an element of culture or an idea that is passed from one individual to another. For example, think of the Air Jordan logo.
Yeah, buddy! I do every day, bro!
Sure.
This simple image, now recognizable almost anywhere in the world, helped spread American ideals through the cultural colonization of other countries, which has always been America's colonization tactic of choice.
Yep.
In addition to that, the logo also subtly carries Nike's ideas of brutal capitalism. And the image of Jordan dunking over the world carries Jordan's own ideas of winning at all costs. And all of this is conveyed in one simple monochromatic image.
Man, now that you broke it down like that, that's fucking metal as hell.
Well, there was a great meme, as a matter of fact. I saw the Detroit Pistons. They have the Jordan logo above them, above the word Detroit, now on their jerseys. That is like such a win.
Well, because he's been planning that for years.
Yeah, he just won.
He's like, one day I will buy the Detroit Pistons fucking stadium. I will fucking name it the Jordan, like in sports industrial zone.
In other words, a meme is essentially a thought virus, infecting people with information. And Slender Man worked much the same way, but on a much smaller scale. Whereas the Air Jordan logo conveys athleticism, the simple, tall, white, skinny figure of Slender Man conveys a primordial fear.
It's because the skinnies are evil. Skinnies are scary.
No, we're not. No. We're fine. I'm a skinny. I am a very skinny. And I can't help it.
Yeah, he can't help it. He's a toffee, thin on the outside, fat on the inside.
I don't view you as a skinny.
He is skinny.
No, a skinny.
He weighs 135 pounds.
No, there's a difference between...
I don't weigh 135 pounds. I weigh 150 pounds.
No, well, he's not that skinny.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying that he is not skinny. I'm saying that he's not a skinny. A skinny is one of the people that you could see, like, the back of their shoulder bones.
Well, it's a medical condition. That's someone who is struggling with a certain eating.
You can
disorder.
See the back of my shoulder bones when I take my shirt
only
off.
If you're really looking,
you're supposed to see, you're supposed to be able to see the bone structure in a human being.
I'm the healthiest one out of the three of us, easily.
I'm getting healthier.
Actually, is that true? Yeah, I guess. I mean, I drink a lot more.
Yes.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm at a crossroads here.
All right, can we get back to something less horrifying than Henry's health, Slender Man?
Well, interestingly, this impossibly skinny nightmare creature has been around for millennia. Cave paintings found in Brazil from 9,000 years ago portray a terrifying figure with overly long arms and legs towering over other representations of humans that are perfectly normal. And I've seen these cave paintings. Not, you know, in real life, I saw pictures, but these cave right. paintings do exist.
Cool. Yeah, man. They're scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrifying to see. There's also Ooh. Der Grossmann, or the Tall Man, which
another
is,
one.
Which is which is claimed to be a German folk tale.
Oh.
Yeah, I wonder where it comes from.
Yeah, Germany is where it comes from.
Arriving in the 16th century, supposedly, Der Grossmann was said to be an incredibly tall and thin fairy who lived in the Black Forest and preyed on children. Working as a cautionary tale, Der Grossmann's M.O. was to chase children who snuck into the forest late at night, and if he were to catch them, he would whisk them away forever to parts unknown.
Cool.
In another tale, Der Grossmann would tap on the windows of children, just tap, 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 tap,
ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, tap on the windows of children who stayed up too late, and would again take them away to some other land.
We are going to Kabul to hang out for the weekend, Mrs. Sammy Hagar.
Sweet!
Now, Slender believers say that there's a woodcutting from 1497 that proves that the image of Slender Man, as we know him, has been around for centuries. However, the woodcutting they're talking about, Der Ritter, is a fake.
It's a fake!
Oh, no!
The real version shows an anthropomorphized version of death piercing a knight with a lance.
Yeah!
But the internet... Yeah. But the internet added extra limbs and gave death Slender Man's eyeless, mouthless face. It's a fucking fake. In fact, I don't even know if Der Grossmann was an actual old folk tale or if the entire story was a creation of the internet, even though stories of tall, thin creatures do show up in Irish, Scottish, Lakota, and Romanian folklore.
All famously small people.
Yeah, interesting how you're still obsessed with height. So what's interesting is, I guess, the before Slender Man, before Skungeely Man, before the Chupacabra was just the Grim Reaper, right?
Yeah.
Wouldn't the Grim Reaper be considered sort of a tulpa-type creature, a cryptid in its own kind of right?
This is literally an episode we should do. We should talk about the history of the concept of the Grim Reaper, because mm-hmm. I don't know how old... What we know is the Grim Reaper.
The sickle and all that stuff.
I don't know how old that image is, but it's interesting that these stretched out characters, it might be born from our own nightmares. We had a really good email from someone who works in the psych industry. I call it psych industry. for side stories, we were talking about the man in the tall hat, like the people seeing these entities mid-sleep in sleep paralysis. And he said one thing that the brain does is that it stretches things out to fill space, is that it'll see a thing and basically it will fill it up. The brain kind of fills it up. And our brain is also, we're good at seeing faces, but we're not good at making faces. So a lot of times in a half sleep, what we'll see are these big, wide open mouths, because you're basically watching your brain experience lag, creating an image that it can't fully crystallize. So what we, and you're already at a high agitation state because you believe yourself to be paralyzed, you can't move, you are paralyzed, you can't move, and you see this thing and the apprehension kind of adds a sort of energy to that very image. And I wonder if it's just sleep paralysis and these things have been around since consciousness started.
But even if Der Grossmann is a fabrication, it still tells us that the character of Slender Man took on a life of its own beyond Knudsen's original creation, making Slender Man a collaborative cryptid.
Mm.
But in Knudsen's creation of the character, he himself took inspiration from quite a few pop culture figures, and at least one real-life series of crimes that could have been a case of imagination run wild themselves. As far as figures went, Knudsen gave Slender Man tentacles as a nod to Lovecraft's Cthulhu.
I think it's very generous that you said as a nod and not as a
complete
rip-off.
Total ripoff. Yeah.
It's not. I mean, Cthulhu's Cthulhu.
What's interesting, though, is that, well, I don't know, man. Like, I mean, Cthulhu don't own tentacles.
He don't own tentacles. That's true.
He doesn't own tentacles.
You know who does own tentacles? Scungeely Man in his mini bucket.
Yeah, you're going to bring him up again, huh?
What's interesting, though, is that as a child, Lovecraft was also supposedly plagued by Slenderman-like creatures that he called Nightgaunts.
Yep. Yes, yes. I always have whenever I have to take a liquid dump in the middle of the night, I call it my Nightgaunt. Well, we can edit that out.
Now it stays.
Rubbery to the touch, these creatures, who also supposedly appeared to Lovecraft's mother, arrived as living shadows without faces, and they eventually made their way into the whole Cthulhu mythos as something different altogether. They eventually became like winged bat demons.
Mm. Cool.
As far as those real life crimes went, Knutson was also inspired by a bizarre case from the 1940s known as the Mad Gasser of Mattoon.
But Marcus, you have to say it correctly. It's the Mad Gasser of Mattoon. Have you seen the gasser on that Mattoon over there?
Yes, indeed.
Well, this person, the Mad Gasser, supposedly broke into 24 houses in Mattoon, Illinois over a 2-week period and victimized the citizens of the town, spraying them with a foul-smelling gas that induced nausea, vomiting, and a debilitating effect that sounds a lot like sleep paralysis.
With any luck, they'll call me Skunk Boy.
According to witnesses, the Mad Gasser was a tall, thin man dressed in black who would rob his victims blind, leaving behind only the pungent odor of the gas he used to immobilize the good people of Mattoon.
Maybe they'll call me the Farty Riddler.
I'd say, yeah, check the years on this, and if you take this up to, I wonder if there was any sort of copycat crimes of this nature in the 2000s, early 2000s in Marquette, Wisconsin, where you went to school. I like to trace some of the gas station cameras to some of the activities of the Mad Gasser of Marquette.
Well, I went to Milwaukee. Marquette's the private school where Chris Farley went.
Oh, the good one.
Well, yes, Marquette is the good one. It's the, that's the, yes, I went to the public school. Milwaukee University. Go Panthers. Rawr.
Now, this case was serious enough to warrant a visit from the FBI, and the entire town freaked out so bad that a statement had to be made by the local health commissioner.
Yeah!
This was that statement.
There is no doubt that a gas maniac exists and has made a number of attacks, but many of the reported attacks are nothing more than hysteria. Fear of the gas man is entirely out of proportion to the menace of the relatively harmless gas he is spraying. Wait. The whole town is sick with hysteria and surprisingly low on gas.
Sir, it sounds like you might be the Mad Gasser.
No, absolutely not. My gases are only the most delicious and fragrant of gases. Please, sample some from my gas canister.
Uh-huh. Why is that guy making excuses for the Mad Gasser?
Yes, I will confess.
I will confess. I've become John F. Kennedy. I will confess. I have a warehouse filled with gas canisters that I must move.
I don't understand. You're not taking this seriously enough. I was making love to my wife. A man broke in and put a bunch of smells in my room. Then I passed out and then he robbed me blind. This is a big deal.
Should never go to sleep with your wife. That's the first step right there. Sleep in separate beds.
The gas put me to sleep. Not making love to my wife.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right, give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Looking for a new show to dive into? Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time. Like the full season of FX's epic limited series Shogun, FX's new international spy thriller The Veil, starring Emmy and Golden Globe winner Elizabeth Moss. And don't miss the all-new crime series Under the Bridge, inspired by shocking true events and starring Riley Keough and Lily Gladstone. It's all new, and it's streaming now on Hulu.
Probably the most obvious visual reference when it comes to Slender Man are the men in black, who also wear black suits, are also often tall and thin, and more often than not, have pasty white skin. And sure enough, the ominous, dreamlike, disorienting feelings that people report during men in black encounters are the same feelings people report after having supposed real-life interactions with Slender Man-like creatures. See, after the Slender Man story started making its rounds, people began saying that they'd seen this creature before. Now, 99% of these stories were fabrications, of course, but I'm sure that at least a few of these people truly believed that they'd had an encounter.
If you listen to any of the Wildlines calls from coast to coast, people have been afraid of skinny people for a long time. Because they've seen some stuff, and they always call being like,
I'm just calling to tell you, George, yeah, the other day I saw a man in a suit lying on the ground and I took a picture of it just to show my friends because I knew that they wouldn't believe. I knew, and his suit was so black.
Yeah, it was just a businessman who was hammered after happy hour.
I think in the end I'm just so scared of the eventual fall of capitalism and what that will mean. I'm not powerful. Ready for the ideological or physiological differences that a socialist universe will provide for me.
Yeah, well, there you go. There you have it, folks.
From there, the story of Slender Man evolved quickly, and amateur writers all over the internet added to the mythos. Pretty soon, Slender Man was a passive-aggressive creature who stalked his targets for years, using fear and paranoia to drive his victims insane.
Yo. Wait a second, is Slender Man my mother?
Honestly, it really could be your mother.
As far as abilities go, Slender Man can turn invisible, sprout tentacles, control minds, and teleport. He can also cause nightmares, convulsions, exhaustion, vomiting, and hallucinations by infecting his victims with what's called Slender Sickness.
Please pass him over here to this side of the table.
Yes, indeed. I'll take some of that.
So by November of 2009, just 4 months after Slender Man's creation, the character had made its way all the way to Coast AM. Once George Norrie started talking about the phenomenon, he got caller after caller claiming, holy shit, I've seen that thing before in the real world.
I can't believe it made it all the way to coast AM.
Well, nothing's like the follow-up articles. So there was like several UK sightings of the Slenderman that were, I don't know how to put this. There were several sightings of the UK Slenderman. Right? And that man that was in charge of it was an investigator. The only way to put it is that, you know, Nick Frost, the partner of Simon Pegg?
Yeah. Sure. Love Nick Frost. Yeah, love what they do. Love Simon Pegg.
Imagine a less masculine version of Nick Frost. and that's the only thing that stands between us and the Slenderman.
Okay. Well, Nick Frost, I mean, in Shaun of the Dead, he did kill a lot of zombies.
He did.
Was a pretty tough guy.
He did, but I'm saying less than that.
Yeah, one step down.
Less than that.
Less than one step down.
I'm going to say a flight.
Okay. All right. Well, I don't feel so safe anymore. But
now all these calls to coast, I mean, it all could very much be a case of bandwagon jumping, and it could also be that a lot of these people just saw a big, scary tree branch that looked like a tall, thin creature stalking them in the woods.
Yeah.
But other interesting things were happening on the internet in 2009 besides just Slenderman. That was the same year that a bunch of terribly lonely men on 4chan all got together and began experimenting with the creation of tulpas. And these keyboard occultists began calling themselves tulpamancers.
Tulpamancers.
Now, we've well, talked that is a fancy way of saying virgin. And nothing's wrong with that.
Really good walk back.
Wrong with that.
What a good moonwalk out of that.
No problem.
I think that these guys, it's interesting because we've talked about tulpas quite a bit on this show. Now, what we've realized over time, it's like we've talked about tulpas, but now I did a little bit more research in it. The original idea of a tulpa was supposed to be just like an envisioning of a 3D version of a gift that you would give in Buddhist lore, like you would give to like an entryway point, like to a god or some sort of
an offering
on their side. An offering. You would imagine you'd create an apple. Like, that's an example in your mind, and you'd use that in your visualization techniques during meditation,
okay.
Right? But it has turned into a thing for 19-year-olds on 4chan in 2009 to want to create, like, a fucking Pokemon with tits that they can fuck.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, ostensibly, these dudes were trying to create thought form energy ghosts out of sheer loneliness, hoping to conjure companions out of thin air using nothing but willpower and deep concentration.
Yes,
and
indeed.
It went from, well, we can fuck these things to, like, or I will use them as my many henchmen to get back at the people that said I would never run a Blockbuster, and now you'll see I fucking ruined Blockbuster with my many floating bees.
Wow, Pokemon.
I made 100 bees, and they've all got guns, and one of them's my wife, and the other one's my new mommy, because she doesn't get my tulpas. She doesn't understand that I'm a tulpamancer now. I don't need a job.
Well, indeed you don't. I'm not sure if you'll be able to get one anyway, so I'm happy you don't want one. Pokemon Go, Henry, what you're describing sounds more like a Pokemon Ho.
Wow. Been waiting for that one, huh?
Wow.
No.
Is that like in your
I actually didn't want to say that.
Wow. I'm like, I'm so upset.
Yeah, I'll just take a second on that.
This is just you. You've set us back.
No, I know. I know. It wasn't good. That's bad. We're back.
However, if you listen to the stories from some of the tulpamancers, as well as others who tried doing it long before 4chan did, tulpas tend to have a mind of their own outside of their creators. For example, take Jeff the Talking Mongoose.
Oh, honk honk!
It's appropriate now.
I know!
As we said on our episode, some speculate that Jeff was a tulpa, a creation of the Irving family. But Jeff didn't take orders from anyone.
Yeah, dude.
He was, however, still a freewheeling, fun-loving creature for the most part, because he was the creation of a loving environment.
Yeah, and it shows the difference between nature versus nurture.
Yeah,
and
sure.
Sometimes you have to give love. You have to give love.
You do have to give love.
If you want your talking mongoose to not, like, rape a bunch of teens, you got to give love.
You do have to give love. Absolutely. It creates a much better life for everyone.
But if a good tulpa can be created, then it follows that a bad tulpa could be created as well.
Oh, no.
And some think that while Slenderman started off as a throwaway Photoshop image, he was essentially brought into the real world through collective tulpamancy.
Whoa!
Make them remember me, Jason! Make them remember me, Jason!
But normally,
it's Freddy Krueger style.
If you do believe in the idea of creating a tulpa, most tulpas, to be honest, they all go bad. They all flip into something and they create their own agenda. There seems to be, Jeff was the most innocent of these ideas, if that's true. But people talk about that original tulpa experiment when they created that, the Philip experiment. And then there's also the stories of Dion
Warwick?
Not Dion Warwick.
Dion Fortune.
Yeah, it's Dion Fortune. a better name, but less talented.
Okay.
She created this fat monk tulpa. That's this kind of this famous, like this jolly fat monk that became, again, tall and thin and evil after a while once it gained its own sentience.
Okay.
If you believe all this.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, within just a couple of years of his creation, we started to see that there were, at the very least, thousands of people who were beginning to believe that Slender Man was an actual being with very real desires, wants, and goals walking the earth.
Very real desires.
He wants a hamburger.
He likes fucking snooch, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah?
And butt.
Yeah.
Remember what it's attached to.
Oh, my goodness.
He's a horny man.
Wow.
Slenderman's a horny dog guy.
Well, I'm sure we'll get to it.
Now, most people just believe Slender Man was a boogeyman, an unknowable creature of death and destruction.
Yeah.
But you also had legions of lonely teenagers who were starting to identify as followers of Slender Man.
Hmm.
These kids were reading creepypasta stories and believing them to be true, or at the very least, pretending to believe they were true. Because, as I'm sure most of our listeners know, lonely kids do and believe in some weird shit.
Of course.
On purpose. The kind of the point is to see who else wants to believe in your own little world with you. I really do think there's kind of it's a collective choice of your obsessions as a little kid that brings kids together. And yeah. There was something about Slenderman that I think that what you said is kind of true originally about the Jack Skellington thing, that they built out his mythos to have these proxies, right? That he had these little creatures that were around him, his sort of like slaves. It's quote unquote, it's emo. It's for like goth 12-year-olds.
I would have been totally into it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's cool.
And there's something about belonging to a group. It's kind of like, you know, like when people say stuff like, schools weren't there for me, my mom and dad weren't there for me, so that's why I joined a gang. You know what I mean? It's that thing. I joined a gang.
You have a great insight into what it is to grow up in perhaps a lower income community, struggling to survive. Someone who maybe
the streets wouldn't let me out. They wouldn't understand me. So that's why I joined the old peanut butter gang.
You joined the peanut butter gang.
Yeah, it's a bunch of old guys, man.
Okay, so what do these? Do you bring the peanut butter? Or do
bring,
you bring
that's
the
initiation, man. You got to get buttered in, dude.
You get buttered in. You've been molested.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So you're going to want to go to therapy for the next 15 to 25 years.
I'm already in therapy. Do I got to pay her double now?
Yeah, you got to triple that up.
Well, as Henry said, these followers identified themselves as proxies, humans who did the bidding of Slenderman. But since there is no actual Slenderman giving orders, these proxies took existing Slenderman stories and extrapolated, trying to predict maybe this is what Slenderman would want. Essentially, they created a self-driven belief system out of a meme, making a demigod from a Photoshop image. And if that ain't chaos magic running loose on Earth, then I don't fucking know what is.
That's the thing, is that it's compelling in the fact that they took it so seriously.
Yeah, absolutely.
Little kids have the ability to really spin this out. And we watched this happen in real time over the last 11 years. Essentially, we watched it go from bullshit to bullshit that gets people killed.
Yeah, absolutely. No, the collective unconscious of 12-year-olds is horrifying.
Horrifying.
And that's what brings us to Waukesha, Wisconsin.
Waukesha.
Waukesha,
yeah,
okay.
Waukesha.
Yeah, it's not Waukesha. It's not like the new Kesha album, but from the Midwest.
I gave it the fucking Texas accent. I'm sorry, all right? I'm very sorry. In 2014... the story of Slender Man jumped out of the internet and into the brain of a 12-year-old schizophrenic girl and her lonely friend. And the result would be a brutal attempted murder in the name of Slender Man.
Marcus, I do want to thank you for pronouncing Waukesha correctly. Yes, we did steal it from the Native Americans, but please, God, get it right.
I'm still halfway on the schizophrenic nature of this little girl. I think that this little girl is very dangerous, but we'll get into the story.
Now, it's interesting that all this happened in Waukesha, because the town, strangely enough, has a long history of vicious murder, unexplained deaths, and what appears to be a death curse.
Fuck yeah, hell yeah, dude.
That town has a death curse.
Yeah, it's called high cholesterol.
Oh, Henry!
And it also has a nice dash of local folklore. Way back in the early days of settlement, the first residents told stories about a creature called the Water Man who lived in a hidden lair in the deepest part of the rivers.
Not very creative, but that's fine.
Well, he's in the water. He's a man. What do you mean?
The Skungeely Man technically has a lot more merit. It's got a lot more depth to it than
the
Water Man.
Yeah, but the Skungeely Man isn't real and the Water Man's real.
We'll see what happens.
This creature walked and talked like a normal man, and if he was wearing a hat, he could only be identified by the constantly wet handkerchief hanging from his pocket.
Yeah, hot enough for you? Yeah, that's why only my napkins are wet.
Well, you know the Water Man would sound like, oh, I don't have an accent. They have an accent.
They're the ones with,
they're the ones with the accent.
They have an accent. Jeez. You're not over here. I'm just here hanging out in the water.
Water.
A hatless Water Man, however, meant certain death.
Whoa.
Get him a hat.
Atop his
Take Waterman to fucking lids.
Yep, always.
Atop his head were long tendrils that would drag unsuspecting victims into the water, much like Slenderman's tentacles were often used to subdue potential targets.
Is it possible that white people just don't know how to swim?
Well, I mean, it's a cautionary tale. This is the type of thing that you tell children so they don't go near the water and accidentally drown themselves. That's where most folklore comes from.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, Wisconsin is full of Germans and Norwegians. We're drowning people.
You're drowning people. You guys do sink in. You're heavy bones.
Yes.
But the Water Man and these type of things, what's called a, it works on a circuit. It's a way to, technically, this is secret schools in the tiniest version where you tell a story right. In order to not convey the boring information of like, you shouldn't swim in there, it's dangerous. Because as soon as they say, oh, it's dangerous, heck yeah, me and the peanut butter gang are going down there.
Again,
me
the
and Gerald and Mortimer from the peanut butter gang.
Yeah, but those
going
are two
there.
Grown men. Oh, old
yeah.
Men.
Super grown, overgrown.
Yeah. Overgrown. Yeah,
teach me how to grow.
I also think it's kind of amazing that parents came up with the Water Man instead of teaching their children to swim. You know, my parents were very good about that. They threw me in the water right away. I'm a great swimmer.
They try to kill you.
Yes. And I keep on coming back like Jason Voorhees.
Well, the story of the Water Man is actually Slavic in origin. They called him Vodyanoi. And this
that's cool.
Yeah, Vodyanoi. And this original creature, with the face of a toad, enticed victims to the water's edge and dragged them into the water with horrible, slimy tentacles.
Marcus, how does that make you feel?
A fucking horrified. I hate toads and a fucking monster with the face of a toad. I don't want to go.
I don't want to go.
You think, all right, let's say the hottest body you've ever seen,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right.
Big, huge butts.
But face of a toad?
Yeah.
Well, everything is nullified by the face of a toad.
Yeah.
Is it?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's no longer a human.
Well, that's just the folklore. And naturally, no actual deaths were ever attributed to the Water Man of Waukesha. The story of the Hilla Farm outside of Waukesha, however, is a different story. This farm was said to be cursed, and a decades-long string of violent and mysterious deaths seemed to confirm that claim. In 1898, the wife of German immigrant farmer John Hilla was struck with a mysterious illness. Now, the doctor on site never figured out what the illness was, because he ended up accidentally killing Margaret Hilla after accidentally giving her poison instead of medicine.
It's a bit of a mix-em-up.
That's a mix. You should never keep your poison needle right by your, like,
always separate them. Mark them with a marker. You put a little pee on it for poison is always good.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. But then also, oh my God, what's the frickin' drug in Tylenol?
Acetaminophen.
Acetaminophen.
No, it starts with a P.
You said it.
What?
Acetaminophen. That's what's in
acetaminophen.
That's what's in Tylenol.
I'm talking about the thing that came. Never mind.
Is this the worst moment in radio that's ever?
No, this is all going to be edited out. No, I'm saying it starts with the P. It's the drug penicillin.
Penicillin's not in Tylenol.
Not in Tylenol. It's an antibiotic.
I'm just saying, don't put the poison right next. Don't put the needle of poison right next to the needle of penicillin.
We've come.
That's
a long
what
way.
I wanted to say.
We walked a really long route to get to this.
Yeah, I know that, but it was worth it, wasn't it?
Just say the Skungeely Man 9 times. Just do it. Just say.
You want me to try? Maybe later.
Well, brokenhearted, John Hilla died soon after his wife, and his three children took over the farm. But they, too, would die under either tragic or bizarre circumstances. The first was crushed to death by a bull, trampled to a pulp in a workplace accident. It happens on a farm every once in a while.
Damn.
You're very humble. Like, blasé.
Yeah, that's a little bit like, oh, that happens. Trampled by a bull is not even in one. That's not the top 1,000 causes of death.
My brother was almost killed that way.
Whoa.
Yeah. I mean, it fucking happens.
Man, people work so much harder than us.
Yes, they do.
The next two children died in quick succession after being swept up in a bizarre blackmail plot. See, as I said, the Hillers were German. And anti-German sentiment in America was running pretty high during World War I. So in 1918, the Hille family hired a farmhand named Klaus, who worked with an accomplice to blackmail the Hilles. Klaus and his friend told the family that if they didn't pay up, he would report all of them as German spies.
Damn!
But instead of paying, William Hille grabbed his shotgun, killed Klaus's accomplice, then killed himself in his barn after shooting his horses and his dog.
Are you sure this guy wasn't fucking Polish?
Yeah, what
in the world?
He just
got out of the blackmailing thing. Why would you then kill everybody in the... Why the horses and the dog?
Yeah, what the horses do? I mean, leave the horses alone. I mean, come on.
And the dog.
Yeah, what's going on here?
Bereft with grief, the last Hilla killed herself by drinking arsenic and slashing her wrists.
Shit.
20 years later, a couple named the Ransoms moved in to the same farm, and in short order, two grandchildren were killed, one by drowning, and another crushed to death by farm machinery in the same barn where William shot himself.
This place needs to be burned to the ground.
Yeah, there's something going on there. Something's in the water or the cheese curd. Something's happening.
And reportedly, the last person who owned the farm said that while there was no violent death while he owned it, he regularly saw shadowy figures wandering the grounds. That might also be his mind playing tricks on him because he bought the fucking death farm.
Well, could be, but did he know it was the death farm before he reported it?
Everyone in Waukesha knew it was the death farm.
Okay. Did he get a deal on it, or did they charge him double?
I don't think that it works like that. Maybe, who knows?
Nowadays, I think you charge double.
He absolutely got a deal on it. Like, actually, like last weekend, me and Carolina took a little road trip. We drove up to the Amityville house, the DeFeo murder house.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Every house around it is extremely nice, well-manicured, but the DeFeo house is run down. The windows are all fucked up. Like, the paint job is bad because I think, at least, that the DeFeo house goes for a lot cheaper than all the rest of the houses in the neighborhood. And the people who bought the DeFeo house didn't necessarily have the funds to keep up a house that big.
It takes a lot of money to do all the maintenance. And then also, but there's also the other side of being like, are they just like us? And we're like, we need to make this place look as fucking creepy as possible.
Could be.
And the inside's just spotless and modern and incredible.
All I know is if I was a kid on that block, Halloween is extra fun. Go to that house. They have to get full-size Snickers bars.
Oh, they fucking better.
Yeah, they better get full-size Snickers bars.
But the Hilla Farm curse wasn't even the only incident of tragic death and murder in Waukesha. In 1921, the decaying, bloated body of a boy killed by a violent blow to the head was found floating in an old quarry outside of town. He was wearing clothes and shoes much nicer than those worn by the folk in Waukesha, so the local press, somewhat cruelly, began to refer to him as Little Lord Fauntleroy.
They're roasting the bloated corpse of a
because he had nicer shoes?
They are doing the reverse, bitter making fun of a fashionable dead boy.
Oh, yeah, you know, he flew too close to the sun.
Yeah, I guess somebody has got time to go do all the shopping, and he did go different stores trying to coordinate his shorts and his shirt. I guess he would have time enough to end up dead in a quarry.
I guess so. I don't know.
I'm too busy working to end up dead in a quarry.
Well, I don't know if that's true, buddy.
I gotta go work at the quarry.
Yeah, you might die in a quarry. You do understand that, right?
My goal is to die next to the quarry.
Well, that's also possible.
Well, Little Lord Fauntleroy's body was never identified, but in 2015, a psychic named Marie St. Clair claimed that the boy had been killed by a slim man in a dark suit.
Yep.
Although, that claim was made after Anissa Weir and Morgan Geyser rebranded Waukesha as Slenderman USA.
It rolls off the tongue.
I will say, Slenderman USA is an incredible fashion line. But I hate the cuts of their shirts. All they do is show off my tits. But I also find it interesting, as you go through this, I find different search results. If you type in Slenderman as one word and Slenderman as two words, they are all Slenderman, our Slenderman content.
Okay.
But everybody can't seem to agree as to whether or not Slenderman is one word or two words.
What if you put the hyphen in there?
He's not married to Gwyneth Paltrow.
I don't know. Conscious uncoupling.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Do you know someone struggling to figure out their mental health benefits? The Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office is here to help. Find us at insurance.ohio.gov/GETMHIA or call us at 855-438-6442. Don't wait. The Mental Health Insurance Assistance Office can help you figure out what mental health insurance benefits may be in their plan. Call us today at 855-438-6442.
If there's anything better than getting a few of your favorite things from McDonald's, it's getting a few of your favorite things from McDonald's for less in the McDonald's app. Delicious. Order in the McDonald's app today. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Right now, only in the app. Enjoy a breakfast sandwich for just $1, like a sausage McMuffin with egg. Offer valid one time per day from 4/29 to 5/12/24 at participating McDonald's. Must opt into rewards.
Now, I'm sure most of you followed what is often erroneously called the Slender Man murders as it was happening. Or you at least watched the overly long HBO documentary about the crime called Beware the Slender Man.
There's another newer, overly long Slenderman documentary on the Reels channel that is also an hour and 45 minutes. Oh. And it's them, that's where the Slenderman, they keep calling him the Slenderman again.
He has, I will say, for all of the impact that Slenderman has made, he has not done well with cinema or TV.
No. That movie
Everything
sucks.
About him
that
in
Slenderman
the artistic
movie,
sphere is bad.
It fucking sucks. Marble Hornets, I'm going to get in trouble probably with the younger generation. I hate Marble Hornets. Yeah. I hated Marble Hornets.
Yeah. But to give you a refresh, in 2014, two 12-year-old girls named Anissa Weir and Morgan Geyser discovered the Slenderman character on the Creepypasta Wiki. And pretty soon, both had come to believe that Slenderman was real. Or at least they were pretending to believe he was real.
I think they did.
Now, Morgan Geyser sort of had an excuse because she was in the throes of undiagnosed childhood schizophrenia, which is a malady that her father suffered from as well.
And this is my most hot takey topic. This is my most hot takey version of this, is that I wonder about this little girl. Morgan Geyser is she's a troubling person. I wonder what she did that also was purposefully mimicking her father's own symptoms and the things that she heard to talk about, because when you hear the interview, the police interview with Morgan, she throws her friend under the bus so fucking fast.
She's 12.
I'm just saying, there's some conscious thought happening here. There's some plan going on here that is, I don't know. We'll get into it.
It's very complicated. You know, I mean, because that's the thing, is that, you know, she did begin hallucinating ghosts at the age of 3. And that wasn't just her saying that, like, I've seen ghosts since the age of 3. It was her mother saying it as well. Like, she used to have full-on hallucinations.
Yeah, I used to see a man in a bandolero hat. And
could you not, please?
I used to see him all the time as a kid, this thing, but I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, what's the name of this person?
At the time, I just thought he was a friendly Italian neighbor. We grew up in a sort of Italian neighbor, Italian and Latino, so I assumed that he was, it was smelled like weird. It smelled strange, but I just figured that was because he was always at the fresh bait shop.
Yeah, was it onion smell?
Yes.
Huh, I wonder who it could be.
But Anissa had no such mental defect. Instead, it seemed as if she just got caught up in Morgan's delusion, yes-anding herself into playing a part in the brutal attempted murder of one of her classmates. See, Morgan and Anissa had come to believe that they were proxies, and if they were to demonstrate loyalty, then they thought that Slenderman would take them away to live in his mansion located in Nicolet's National Forest.
Oh!
Eventually, Geiser claimed to receive a message from Slenderman that gave her a choice. Either murder her best friend Peyton David and go live in the Slender Mansion, or watch as Slenderman murdered both her and Anissa's families.
I like that Slender Mansion.
I want a wide mansion. Yeah. I want a large mansion. I want a lot of room in my mansion.
And slender.
I don't want a railroad mansion. I don't want to be in a railroad mansion.
No, I mean, it's better than not being in one.
I'm going to need a ranch-style mansion. But my question is that what it seems to me from what the breakdown of that Reels documentary actually did a good piecing together of the tenuous relationships of a bunch of 12-year-olds. But Peyton was a new friend, right, to Morgan and Anissa. Anissa and Peyton began to get really close. Morgan was very possessive over Anissa. And something happened during this time period where the Slender Man issue came up. And much like as we see often in pairs that kill, one is the driving force and one's in the sidecar, right? Where Morgan started pitching this idea of like, maybe we could be proxies of Slender Man. That became a thing.
Sure.
Became within their inner mythos. Then became, I think we gotta kill Peyton. But it became, right, we gotta kill Peyton because Peyton and Anissa started becoming super, super close. I'm sometimes scared of women friendship circles.
There's a lot of girls.
I'm scared of the worst. That's even scarier.
You know, this is what happens if Cartman was a real person and actually fed someone else their own parents in a chili cook-off. This is what happens.
The best episode.
That's very good. Very good.
Man, it feels so weird to hear you talking about, like, and then Morgan was talking to Anissa.
I know,
and then, like,
they're 12
Anissa
years
and
old.
Peyton were, like, getting, like, too close and, like, it's just so, like, stupid.
It's true. It's really weird. I was like me yelling that at Natalie. She's like, that's great.
They're children. They're babies.
Well, the night before the attack, Morgan had a birthday sleepover, and both Anissa and the eventual victim, Peyton David, were the only guests. After a breakfast of donuts and strawberries, Anissa,
ooh,
and it's a great breakfast.
That's unreal, dude. That is a Wisconsin breakfast right there.
No, man, you got brats in there. For me,
not for breakfast, Henry.
I like a sliced, one of those like nice like lunch sausages, like one of the TV sausages.
This is breakfast.
That's what I eat for breakfast: sliced cheese, sausages.
You're not a 12-year-old girl who's about to kill their friend. You need to carbo load and also get that strawberry.
Well, Anissa and Morgan, after breakfast, lured Peyton to David's park, bringing along a 5-inch steak knife to use as the murder weapon. But when it came time to kill the girl, Anissa couldn't do it. So Morgan grabbed the knife from Anissa's hands and stabbed Peyton 19 times in the arms, legs, and torso as Anissa watched. Peyton collapsed, and her two assailants left her in the woods to die while they cleaned her blood off at the local Walmart. Satisfied that they had sacrificed their friend to Slender Man, they then started walking down I-95 toward Nicolet's National Forest, absolutely convinced that when they got there, Slender Mansion would be waiting.
But no one told them, and they didn't think about this, that Nicolet National Forest was 30 miles from the murder site.
It's actually 300 miles from the murder site.
Jeez, I mean, either way.
They're 12 years old.
It might as well have been. And I know Anissa was like, but this is then you go into the mind of kids where Anissa was like, and we knew that it was going to be a long walk, so I brought plenty of these healthy gummies so we can get our sugars up so that we could walk.
Aww.
And it's just really sad. It's very sad story.
Yes.
Yeah. And they were picked up on I-95, 5 miles into what was supposed to be a 300-mile journey on foot.
They were so close!
And both were promptly charged with attempted murder as per a Wisconsin law that allows anyone over the age of 10 to be tried as an adult.
See, that was ever since we allowed a 9-year-old to be mayor of Waukesha.
Yeah, you got to.
Then we realized 9's too young. And as soon as he turned 10 and we sentenced that first man to death underneath the Mayor Tyler, yeah, we knew that actually 10 years old makes you an adult.
Yes, apparently it does. I don't think they should have been tried as adults.
No.
After, that is me.
No, I agree. After it was all said and done, Anissa was sentenced to 25 years in a mental health facility, while Morgan was sentenced to the maximum term of 40 years to life in a mental health facility for first-degree attempted murder. But what's really fucking creepy about this whole thing is that the night before the attack, Coast to Coast AM had a long discussion about Slenderman, specifically on the possibility that Slenderman had become a tulpa created by the internet. The guest, Bill Murphy, actually speculated that the combined power of global thought surrounding Slenderman could actually be enough to bring him to life. And the next day, that exact thing seemed to happen in Waukesha.
You gotta go Fight Club with it. You can't talk about it. You shouldn't be doing the show then.
Coast AM is desperate for content.
But if this Murphy guy is like, well, if you keep on talking about Slenderman, a bunch of kids are gonna kill another child. No. Slenderman, you gotta shut up.
For a while, they just thought that Slenderman would just keep showing up in pictures and like innocent shit. Everybody that's involved in the cryptid world never thinks that one of their beloved cryptids is gonna be involved in a murder. But they don't know what would happen if you even try to invade a home of a Bigfoot. They're so private.
Oh, that's absolutely true. Peaceful, though, for my understanding.
Yes.
But they will stand their Bigfoot ground.
They will, and they will make love to your wife.
Well, if that's so desired.
Now, it could be that these girls heard this broadcast and took it as a sign.
They did not hear fucking Coast to Coast AM. They weren't listening to AM.
Yeah. We moonlight as truck drivers. We're the only 12-year-old girls. Yeah. We just love George Norrie's hip, cool voice.
What me and Anissa like to do sometimes when we're working third shift over at the tire factory is that we like to go to 7-Eleven, put on Coast to Coast AM, drink our hazelnut coffees, and then we get some jerky, and then we coordinate our shits.
Yeah, I found it very hard to believe that a bunch of 12-year-old girls were sitting around listening to Coast AM at a fucking slumber party. No, I don't care how much into Slenderman they were.
No,
definitely not.
No, it fucking Coast to Coast AM is for post-divorcees and pre-divorcees.
Yeah, yes, and people going through a divorce.
Yeah, you guys remember when you were at fucking sleepovers and you were 12 years old and you just surfed the AM band to see what was out there?
Ooh, well, actually, I think it's,
No, man, we were eating Pizza Hut to someone threw up.
We would watch scary movies.
Pizza Hut was always consumed until somebody threw up. One of my friend group, someone had to always throw up, start crying, and go home. There was always like five dudes, one can't handle the fucking Pizza Hut. He bit off more than he could chew. What?
At 12?
Oh, yeah, dog. Huh. Fucking, we used to get up in it.
You should start drinking by 12. Shouldn't you have more fun than that? Pizza Hut party.
No. You were not raised.
It's for 9. That's for 9-year-olds.
You were literally not raised.
Yeah, you were not raised. Yeah, most kids were still at 12 years old, like having a fun time and not.
We had a great time stealing Keystone Light from one of my dad's friends. Or from one of my friend's dads. I was molested. That's what I'm here to say.
Oh, you also remember the peanut butter gang.
Peanut butter gang. That's why, yeah. They got mad at me because I brought chunky peanut butter over the first time.
I ate all these chunks. You get lost in your tendril of hair.
Right. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Well, furthermore, the plan to kill Peyton David was decided upon days before the slumber party even occurred. So while this isn't a simple cause and effect, the synchronicity is eerie as fuck.
Dude, they said that they were fucking planning the murder since December.
Ooh. Man.
They were planning the murder for fucking months. This is what I'm saying is that, like, that's why it point towards some other weird impulse. And because schizophrenics don't necessarily murder. We talked about this with Herbert Mullen. Just because you have, like, it's actually very rare for you to flip into hurting other people. It's way more obvious. It happens way more that you hurt yourself.
Sure. Yeah, versus hurting other people.
Or other people hurt you.
If you're a parent, you just got to go knock, 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 knock on the door, open it up, be like, what you guys talking about? So what you talking about? And if they like shuffle a bunch of papers around and like put them underneath their desk and just be like,
oh, no,
I'll
do what my mom did.
Like, okay, are you really talking about math? What are you talking about?
I will do what my mom did to my older sister, which is you literally remove the door to the room. They did that move.
That's probably not great.
They just removed the door and they removed it. And then it led to a lot of drama.
Yeah. No, that would make sense.
They escalated.
Yeah, they did. Yes, they did.
I mean, the schizophrenia thing, like, yeah, it may not have had anything to do with it. Because the Waukesha stabbing was only the first in a string of attacks and deaths related to Slenderman in one form of another. And strangely, most of them involved teenage girls. The vast majority involved teenage girls.
You know, say what you want about Terry the Gnome. Yeah, he's mean-spirited, but he has never inspired anyone to kill.
Nah, the only thing I like to do is I like to get out a squirrel and ride it until it falls asleep. Yeah!
Aw, Terry.
I'll throat fuck a fucking woodchuck if I can get at it, but I tell you what, my cock ain't big enough, but my head is.
Wow, Terry the Gnome organically coming up in the episode.
Yeah, you did this. You threw Terry the Gnome at me.
I've been thinking about Terry the Gnome and laughing. That's very good.
Well, a week after Waukesha, a 13-year-old girl in Ohio obsessed with Slenderman attacked her mother with a knife, cutting her neck, slicing her face open, and stabbing her in the back. 3 months later, a 14-year-old girl set fire to her house using a bathroom towel soaked in alcohol while her mother and sibling were still inside. Thankfully, both survived, but it was found that this girl was also a Slender fan.
Damn.
She took out, because she said it was the, she was trying to kill Slenderman. She said that Slenderman was in the house and that was the only way she could save her family was by setting the barn on fire.
Damn.
But perhaps the most bizarre and tragic of stories related to Slenderman involved the Pine Ridge Reservation suicides. Between 2014 and 2015, 11 Lakotas aged 12 to 24 committed suicide on the reservation, and over 100 more attempted it. Now, we know these suicides probably are more related to the absolutely atrocious conditions of our nation's reservations, where the government asked natives to survive impossible situations in a slow continuation of the genocide that started centuries ago.
No way, Marcus. I think it's Slenderman. There's no way it's the feelings of our country in any way, shape, or form. It's got to be Slenderman.
Yeah, well, Slenderman didn't help. That's all. I mean, he did not. That's all.
Yeah, Slenderman helping them.
It's not good.
But what's somewhat chilling about the 2014-2015 suicides is that Lakotas actually have a legend of a suicide spirit known as Walking Sam, sometimes also called the Tall Man.
Man, it's always one of them.
Do not get into your heightest rant.
It's always one of them. You never hear the Tomato Man.
Well, that's because the Tomato Man isn't able to kill. The
Tomato Man's not real.
Yeah.
Well, this Lakota creature, 7 feet tall and slim, with long limbs but no mouth, wears a black stovepipe hat like Abraham Lincoln and has the ability to control minds.
Ooh.
Now, most likely, this spirit is one of those tales that's meant to explain something that seems unknowable. In this case, Walking Sam is depression, because it's not like clinical depression hasn't been a part of humanity from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2015, some said that it was Walking Sam who inspired a whole group of teenagers to hang themselves all at once from tree branches. Although they were thankfully saved at the last minute after the ropes had already been hung. They were about to do it.
Damn.
Do you think this is fucking... this is a George Norrie question. Do you think kids are more psychic? Like, do you think that kids share collective thoughts more easily than adults? And stuff like this. Like, literally, a meme living... Like, it is a Walking Sam, this concept. First of all of this sounds like an indigenous people's version of anime, which is fucking great. Like, it's like fucking Serial Experiments Lane. It's like, this is a very interesting story. But do you think that they feed off each other more
than adults do. Like, we get more isolated as we get older, and this is easier for them to have, like, groupthink.
Well, I do know that teenage suicides cluster, without a doubt. Like, once, yeah. like, that happens a lot, you know? And there was other, of course, like, other stuff going on the Lakota reservation. There was a lot of...
Yeah, it's awful. Yeah, it was not good. It's good over there. Yeah obviously. No, it's,
I mean, yeah, I mean, I think teenagers are definitely more susceptible to groupthink. I don't know if that's a psychic thing or not, but they're definitely more susceptible, especially in this situation.
Although- I'm going to say adults are pretty good at it, too.
No, I'm not talking about that. That's
I'm going to give them a nod.
This is something else. This is like an emotional... The fact that you had a bunch of kids, because they said they talked about Walking Sam, even though right. obviously they are sad for and they are depressed either clinically or for straight up just exterior normal reasons to be incredibly sad and incredibly distressed.
Sure.
But they talked about Walking Sam as if it was real, and it was a group of kids talking about Walking Sam as if it was real. So there's something about their actual sharing of it that kind of did something. There was something about it. I mean, you know.
Well, as a kicker. At least one of the Lakota kids who were successful in their suicide was said by investigators to have been influenced at least partly by the story of Slender Man outside of Walking Sam. Now, I suppose the question here isn't whether or not Slender Man is real, because we know Slender Man isn't real in the sense
it's not real.
No, we know it's not real, at least not in the sense that the three of us are living, breathing entities with real feelings, desires, and hopes. Because we are real people. The three of us are actual real human beings.
I mean, you're just an image on a computer screen, so I don't know if you're still real. But I look at Kissel, and for my amalgamation of whatever I've created of you, yes, you are. You have become real to me. I don't know if you exist when I leave.
You guys have hopes?
Oh, man.
You guys are still holding on to those.
Yeah, I've been switching them. I don't call them hopes. I call them mopes now.
Yeah.
Really? The question is, what sort of power does the character of Slender Man have? Because while the argument could be made that Slender Man is a cryptid of the internet, he's really closer to the old creatures of folklore. I mean, for example, no fringe scientist is writing a paper about the foot ridges left in Slender Man tracks. Nor are people calling press conferences saying they've got Slender Man's body in a cooler.
If they do, they have just killed a person, and they put them in a suit.
You tell me that every single media outlet in the country would not show up.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'd be like, I got Slender Man, I got him.
It would be huge.
It's like, oh, my God, that's just Eddie Redmayne.
Oh, my goodness, leave Eddie Redmayne alone. I think he's a great actor.
Fuck him, fuck his big, long mouth.
Fantastic Beast was terrible.
I hate that fucking movie. We walked out,
what did you
and
like?
Natalie's a fucking super. Superfan, all that bullshit.
Me
we
too.
Walked out
oh,
of that thing.
Oh, now it comes out. Natalie loves Redmayne.
Well, no,
Natalie
she likes
loves Harry Potter.
The world of Harry Potter.
Yeah. As do I. It's very fun. It's very comforting.
She has no alignment to Eddie Redmayne.
Are you sure?
Like, she specifically said this.
Yeah, but he was terrible.
Well, you pressed it, obviously.
Yeah. I brought it. It came up.
Okay.
Well, and also, unlike Bigfoots or Chupacabras, it's not like there's a species of Slender Men. There's not a bunch of Slender Men running around. Slender
Men should come to L.A.
Slender Man is singular. There's only one, which makes Slender Man more of a living story, and a powerful one at that.
Yeah.
If the phenomenon could be compared to anything, I'd compare Slender Man to Santa Claus.
Huh.
While Santa Claus is not real in the concrete sense, the story of Santa Claus influences the behavior of millions of children every year, making him a highly consequential figure to a large percentage of the Western world. Santa Claus is a living story.
You're not going to give a trigger warning to that to the parents listening with small children in the room right now that Santa Claus isn't real?
If you're listening to this show and your child still believes in Santa Claus, your child shouldn't be listening to this fucking show.
That's true.
What if their child is 13 years old
and
still wants to believe in Santa Claus? Why are you doing away with the wonderful world of childhood?
Because they need to know. Because you know how many years I spent racked with guilt? Because I started early with tugging it, right? I started early with masturbation.
Sure.
And how many times I had masturbated knowing fully on in my child mind that Santa Claus was watching me, and I still did it. And I guess that's what made me a perfect candidate for the peanut butter game.
Well, I'm sure a lot of those guys looked a lot like Santa Claus. I never believed in Santa Claus. My parents wouldn't let me. So.
Wow.
That's where this comes from. That's where the bitterness.
I destroyed everyone's mythos when I was growing up because they'd be like, Santa Claus, and be like, oh, are you that stupid? And I was like 4 years old.
You were actually more as a libertarian as a four-year-old than now.
Yeah, probably.
Wow, this really explains so fucking much.
What, you believed in Santa Claus, Marcus?
Yeah, you fucking psychopath.
Why would your parents lie to you like that? I would have been so livid if I found out my parents lied to me like that. Wow. I mean, they lied to me about a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, they really did. Yeah, instead, your parents took you to anti-abortion rallies. I would so much rather have believed in Santa
Claus. You tell me that
those
babies aren't on tongs? Are you going to tell me that that's not a chopped up fetus? That's very real.
I'm so sad for you.
Yeah.
It was an interesting childhood.
I'm glad that we got really deep into this part of you at the very end of the episode.
Yeah. Well, Slender Man would be a better Santa Claus. He can fit down the chimney. So think about that.
That's the thing. Slender Man is much the same as Santa Claus, albeit on a much smaller scale. And although Slender Man these days, I mean, he's a joke. And he was made even worse by I didn't watch the fucking Slender Man movie. I heard it was absolutely fucking terrible.
I have to tell you this. It takes a lot for me to turn off a movie. I can sit through like a lot of horrible movies, especially in the horror genre. This was such an affront to the whole genre that it had to be turned off.
Yeah. But even so, it's still fascinating to think that humanity has the ability to create new creatures that have consequence, even if they are sometimes monsters.
What?
Oh my God, I smell squid and onion. Squiggly, man. Is that the Italian cryptids? Is that the I'm coming to get you?
Yeah, it's always the theme from Godfather.
I love... That's very nice. Very nice. All right, well, there it is. Slender Man. Fascinating. It is... Honestly, the human aspect of this really is totally... completely interesting. Yeah, and I would assume this is going to happen again, right? Like, I would guess this history will repeat.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Not with Slender Man, but with some other form, some other thing.
So how humanity goes. This is just the newest monster that humanity has created.
Yeah, I mean, now we have QAnon.
QAnon is just as real as Slenderman,
and people are getting killed for it, and eventually QAnon will be, like, you could see it cryptidize, like, as time goes, if it continues to go over the years, more and more people think that QAnon is just like a person that exists somewhere and not a collective of 15-year-olds trolling boomers.
QAnon has just become the new deep state. It is unbelievable. That's the thing with the minds of the adult. I think that's what's so much worse.
Yeah.
I can give the kids a pass.
Yes.
I mean, for me, it was Pennywise the Clown.
Yeah.
I was truly horrified of Pennywise the Clown.
I was too. Bloody Mary.
Bloody Mary. Yeah. Totally worked.
Yeah. I was Candyman. Deeply frozen with fear about Bloody Mary as a little boy. Mm-hmm. I used to think that I would do it like it was intrusive thoughts. It was like my first instance of intrusive thoughts where I thought that, like, I'd go in the bathroom and that my mind would just, I would just make myself say Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary.
And you would see her.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I know. So I get it, man. I get a 12-year-old going online, and the thing that they have the ability to is have a full lore right in front of them, like Slender, and you're building it too. I totally get this.
Yeah,
you just like the Erector set of cryptids.
Yeah,
like you just get to build it.
Yeah,
exactly. So you can be a part of it. We never got to be a part of it because we were not in the room when they wrote it or created it.
No, and then you read the book and you found out all those kids had sex with each other too. That was all the thing.
That's why I don't read any books that are based off of movies. All right. So thank you all so much for watching. That's a classic Kissel joke.
This is listening. You also said watching.
Thank you for listening.
This is an audio.
Well, unless they're staring at their phone, just watching, I don't know what they're doing.
The minutes go?
That would be
so scary. Don't listen to the podcast like that.
I've stared at a logo.
I do just
sometimes. I don't know. I get overstimulated, you know?
Huh.
There's a lot of stimulation out there. All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening to this episode. And let's see. So let's talk about merch. We got some kick-ass new merch.
Our new fan art.
Yes.
Go check it out. It is on lastpodcastmerch.com.
Absolutely. And, of course, we also have all the shows on the Last Podcast Network. We kind of got a revamped website there. Hopefully it's a little easier to click around and find what you like. We have...
all of our bullshit.
So much fun stuff.
And the fan art t-shirt comes from Alayalto at IG. That is Alexandra Runyon at Alayalto.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And don't forget that the pre-order on that shirt is only going to be available until July 31st. So if you want to get your Hellish Rebuke shirt, get it soon because it won't be available for long.
Hellish Rebuke! And we got the Kind of Fun shirt. We got the Top Hat shirt. We got a whole bunch of shirts out there.
You
got
to start pushing that Kind of Fun merch.
Oh, yeah. Are you our manager?
Push that merch.
I know I'm supposed to push the merch. I'm pushing right now.
Oh, no, he's pooping.
Is that Slender Man?
And don't forget to go buy your No Dogs in Space shirt if you want to buy the shirt, but don't buy the shirt until you listen to the show. This week, we're on part two of The Cramps, part two of a three-part series. I know our spooky people out there in Last Podcast Land love The Cramps, so come on
and
listen.
Well, you know, I actually have been known to buy the shirt first and then force myself to watch the movie or watch The Wrestler.
I have totally done that.
And I'm like, I'm going to be a poser unless I see this. Sometimes you realize that it's not great.
But. Sometimes you find out that like a horror movie shirt of a movie you haven't heard of, the reason why you didn't watch it is because the image on the shirt comes from the only good scene in the film.
Yeah.
Always.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's the one iconic thing that you could wring out of the movie, so then it becomes the only thing that goes on a shirt. But honestly, I have to watch the movie before I buy the shirt.
Yeah,
I would rent any movie that had, do you remember when they would have that plastic film and they would have the fake blood?
Oh, yeah.
On the VHS.
Yeah.
I would rent any movie that had any flair to it. It was always dog shit. Always.
Yeah, he spent all the money on marketing.
Exactly. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We also have a Patreon. We got a new interview this week, so thanks so much for giving to our Patreon.
Yeah.
Hope you're doing as well as you can in these trying times. We'll continue to truck through 2020. Hell, man, we're over halfway done.
Yep.
And we're gonna get through this as always.
Yep. And if I may give a small apology to the people of Lubbock, sorry, we're not going to be able to make it back next year.
But we will have a belt fight scheduled for 2022, and it's going to be huge.
Yeah,
it's going to be huge.
Maybe if Lubbock would buy pre-sale tickets, then
Marcus,
we would be
you
able
just apologized, and now you have to apologize to them again.
You walked back
the apology.
I know what it's like to live in Lubbock and to not have people come because you know the rest of Lubbock ain't quite into it. But yeah, we hope to see you in all the other Texas dates that we do. We'll talk to y'all soon. Thank you for supporting us in the first place.
Wow, Marcus, the amount of passion. All right, everyone.
It's not like Lubbock has just finally rejected me for the last time. It's not like that. It's not like
wow.
that at all.
I didn't
it's
do
not
this.
Like,
he
it's not like
this.
A rejection that Texas has made of me my entire fucking life is finally
Christ.
In a concrete form in the sales of
do not
in the
blame
way
me.
Guys
the net.
Of low ticket sales in Lubbock.
Someone get the net. Text me.
Get the net. Honestly, get the net. Lubbock, you made us get the net.
Hey, Lubbock's the reason why the net first came out. Back
in 2006. That's when the net got fucking braided.
Oh my goodness. All right, everyone. We love you. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Hail Geen.
Magustulations, everyone.
Hail me, hey. Yeah, sure.
Absolutely. And hail the Squingili Man. Squingili Man?
No, we shouldn't hail him. We should be very hesitant to allow the Squingili Man to get total hold.
Something's grabbing my Johnson. It's the Squingili Man!
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.